us the agency presentation on the first grant.
This is a request for these two agencies to submit federal grants totaling a little over $5 million. And rather than my explain it in detail to you, I'm going to let the ones who really know what's happening with it explain it.
We have Jeff Huntington, the director of the Oregon Watershed Enhancement Board. Good morning, Mr. Huntington. Can you talk to us about this proposal?
Certainly. Thank you very much. This is a proposal requesting permission to apply for both the Oregon Department of Fish and Wildlife and OWEB make application in the Northwest Power Planning Council for grants totaling a little over $5 million. These are grant applications that are in response, as you said, Madam Chair, to the Blue Mountain Province solicitation, which the deadline is July 20 of this year. For Oregon, that's a relatively small geographic area. It includes basically our Grand Ronde River Basin. So, as we have done in the past, on the past couple of requests, as the Power Planning Council has changed over to this new process, we brought together the agencies and the Natural Resource Cabinet, discussed ways to intersect our Oregon plan and agency programs in a way with this grant proposal deadline, and discussed different proposals. I was asked to carry those proposals forward to you as one package rather than have multiple agency packages. The spreadsheet that is attached to my letter identifies 10 projects, two from OWEB and two from the Fish and Wildlife Department. eight from the Fish and Wildlife Department. As I said, the agency involvements in this one is a little bit less because of the limited geographic scope. These are projects that span a three-year budgeting time frame. Allocations of funds, if awarded, will be made on an annual basis, but the budgets are over a three-year time period, and the future project solicitations for this area will not occur again, we understand, until about 2003. Neither of the agencies will accept any award of funds absent a reappearing in front of the emergency board and dealing with the specifics of any one of these given grant applications that might or might not be awarded. So, and we would do that separately at the time award takes place, which I would anticipate if we would be surprised if we heard anything before the first of the year. Turning to the spreadsheet, OWEB's projects are very similar to those you saw in the Upper Columbia Province solicitation. The first one is a fish passage barrier inventory and prioritization, and essentially working with the county soil water conservation districts, OWEB is looking to do an inventory and prioritization of fish passage barriers in the Grand Ronde Basin and identify those most important to remediate, where we have the best hope of cooperation and working with local groups to do that, and then having an amount of money available in the form of a block grant to apply both state and federal funds to take on those fish passage issues. And the second one is very similar to what we had proposed for the last solicitation again, and that is beefing up our ability provide technical assistance in cooperation with local soil and water conservation districts to people that are interested in enrolling in the Conservation Reserve Enhancement Program. And I have Kay Brown here from ODFW that's happy to answer any questions you've got on the eight projects that are proposed by the Oregon Fish and Wildlife Department. But again, this is requesting permission to apply. Not to accept funds, and we will be returning with any of the grant applications when they are awarded. Generally speaking, we would expect to get about one out of five of these applications, and I really don't have a sense of which one the lottery will click to this time, but we hope that we've even beat the odds and maybe come in with a few more than that this time, because there are some good ones that have been put together with the local folks in the Grand Ronde Basin.
I do have a question. In the ODFW grant listings, in the sixth grant that's listed, which is Ladd and Bear Creek Fish Passage and Screening, the final sentence says, this project would replace older fish that do not meet current National Marine Fisheries Service recovery standards. And I wonder just how exactly you were proposing to replace those older fish.
Madam Chairman, that involves a baseball bat, and it's probably something you don't want to get
into. They're very good at it.
The fish replacement strategy.
And maybe one young director, if I don't get the typos out of my submissions. And I guess I will say one thing about that. We have been working closely with ODFW to kind of work on dividing up responsibilities. So fish screens are our board's working with ODFW so that fish screen replacement and prioritization of that occurs through the ODFW program with our cooperation. And then we work with on fish passage barriers that are not screen related.
Are there further questions? Representative Krieger.
Madam Chair, just Jeff, your first project on fish passage, fish passage barriers, inventory. Isn't most of that information already available between the Department of Fish and Wildlife and the Fish Screening Task Force? And are there that many projects still in need in that basin that would take $1.5 million to screen them?
Madam Chair, Representative Krieger, there's a lot of information we have on different fish passage barriers. It has not been put together in the context of the location of the barriers in relationship to the fish distribution as well as we'd like, and also what the technical fix would be to replacing a push-up dam and finding a new way to divert the water that would meet the irrigators' needs and allow the business operation, the farm, to continue in the same way. And some of the expense here that you see, I think, is really related to project by project, especially going through and doing some design work for alternative diversion source mechanisms. We have been talking to the Grand Ronde Model Watershed and my staff to the Union of Wallowa County SWCDs, and I think that a majority of this money is really for the remediation, but there is a first step to it, and that's the prioritization. If you only have a limited amount of funds, where do you start, and working down the list to make the biggest difference for fish? So I think it's a matter of putting together a lot of what's there and prioritizing it, but then doing some of that expensive design.
Further questions on the grant requests from ODFW and OWEB? We can't go to work session on this because we're short a senator, but my understanding is that we will have her here shortly. So what I will do is close the public hearing on that grant request, and I'll open a public hearing on the Department of Fish and Wildlife grant request, and we'll take the information on that one. Ms. James, could you outline the LFO presentation on this one?
This is another request for submission of federal grant applications totaling $365,000. $335,000 of that is from the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service Habitat Conservation Planning Grants, and one is for $30,000 to the U.S. Geological Survey State Partnership Program. These would allow the Department of Fish and Wildlife to develop some habitat conservation plans for some particular species in various areas, including the Oregon coast, the Washington ground squirrel in eastern Oregon, and the Klabat Lake habitat conservation plan. Would also allow continuing assessment of sensitive amphibians and reptiles in the eastern and central Oregon.
We have the ODFW here, and could you kind of step us through in more detail what you're planning to do here?
Chair Morgan, members of the committee, my name is Kay Brown. I'm a policy coordinator with the Oregon Department of Fish and Wildlife, and with me is Charlie Bruce. Charlie is the habitat wildlife diversity biologist for the department, and if we get into any of the specifics, you can help me with those. As was mentioned, there are four grant programs that we are requesting permission to move forward with these proposals. These are in the form of proposals to the federal government. If you approve those and they go forward and then those are approved, we will be back to the emergency board for requests for specific limitation in our budget. Starting off, there are three proposals having to do with habitat conservation plans, and then one with the U.S. Geological Department. The first one, the Oregon Coast Snowy Plover Habitat Conservation Plan, would be in cooperation with the State Parks and Recreation Department, proposing to apply for Fish and Wildlife Service dollars for habitat conservation planning grants. And that would be in the amount of $150,000, would give us the ability to look at development of a conservation plan for snowy plover.
So it's your hope to develop a conservation plan that will permit the beaches to remain open all year?
That's correct. Any other questions on that one?
Representative Krieger.
In the presentation, snowy plover and associated species. What are the associated species that you deal with when you're dealing with snowy plover?
Madam Chair, Representative Krieger, when you develop a habitat conservation plan, the service asks that you address other state, or excuse me, other federal listed species that may be in the area where the plan is covered. And so in the case of the coast, it would include brown pelicans, for example, that are found along the coast, northern sea lion, excuse me, federally listed species, and so on. So you try to address all those species in case there is an impact, potential impact on these listed species besides the plover.
Further questions? Please proceed, Ms. Brown.
Okay. Second one is a Boeing Leased Lands Washington Ground Squirrel Candidate Conservation Agreement with Assurances Plan. Now, that is similar to a habitat conservation plan, except for these are the ones that are developed before a species is listed as a federal endangered or listed species. So, in developing this, we'd be working with landowners to develop the plan, give them some assurance that if they met all the requirements within the plan, then they would not be subjected to enforcement actions under the Federal Endangered Species Act.
Questions or comments on this part of the application?
Yeah, would you repeat that last paragraph or sentence, please?
Okay. Once this plan is developed with the landowners, then it would, so long as they met the conditions within the plan, then they would not be subjected to enforcement actions under the Federal Endangered Species Act, because they would know that they have met all of those requirements.
Who will the landowner be on that 23,000 acres?
It would be the state of Oregon, as I understand it, currently. Is that right?
Chair Morgan, Representative Hayden, actually the landowner, as I understand it, is still the state of Oregon. The lessee, Artie Offutt Company, that has the lease for the area would be the responsible party that would receive the protection under this agreement.
My understanding that the 23,000 acres were to be partitioned and passed into a third-party ownership.
Chair Morgan, Representative Hayden, yes, I understand. It will be managed by the Nature Conservancy under agreement they have with the lessee for the Boeing tract, yes.
Madam Chair, so it's going to be managed by the Nature Conservancy, leased by R.D. Offutt, and owned by the state of Oregon.
Madam Chair, Representative Hinton, I believe that's correct. It's a bit complicated. I've not been involved in the negotiations, but currently I believe that's the situation.
Follow up?
I'm probably not going to vote aye. I will probably vote no.
Are there any further questions or comments on this part of the application? Please proceed.
The third habitat conservation plan has to do with a proposal that the department has received relative to the commercial harvest of Daphnia in Klamath Lake. And what this proposal would do would be allow us to develop a habitat conservation plan in Klamath Lake for Daphnia. And we'll be working to develop the biological information. Not a lot known currently about Daphnia in Klamath Lake.
That's for you.
This would allow us to build that information into a habitat conservation plan.
I have a question.
Representative Lowe.
Daphnia are grown in Klamath Lake for commercial purposes?
Chair Morgan, Representative Lowe, Daphnia occur naturally in Klamath Lake.
Right.
There are some individuals who are interested in
harvesting them and using them for biological supply stores and that sort of thing. Are Daphnia good for anything else? I mean, just do they feed the whooping cranes that are down there or whatever?
Representative Morgan, Representative Lowe, they certainly provide a food source, and certainly the whole intent of a habitat conservation plan would be to look at those interactions of Daphnia with other species in the basin, make sure that those commercial harvests would not adversely impact other species.
I see. They're prolific, guys.
Do you have a follow-up, Representative Lowe?
No, I'm just scratching my head and thinking about Daphnia.
Representative Hayden.
At the present moment, Madam Chair, unless I hear something more substantial, I'd be very reluctant to vote to give government money to water fleas when we're shipping food to the farmers in that basin. I think that this grant and these monies would be better used to either drill wells or to buy the irrigated farmland in the Klamath Basin rather than send study money down there on behalf of water fleas.
My understanding, Representative Hayden, is that this is grant money from the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service that is directed towards habitat conservation planning, and I very much doubt whether we would be able to, the choice wouldn't be between sending it down there for to buy food or help with the water situation. The choice would be between requesting it for habitat conservation planning purposes or not. And that it
would be. You think the headlines in the paper next week will not be legislature funds water flea study in the Klamath Basin?
Well, what we're doing here is giving the ODFW permission to apply for a grant from the U.S. Fish and Wildlife, if I'm not mistaken, to put a plan together for this. That there's still the whole process of actually getting the grant, and whereupon if they get the grant, the agency will come back to us for the limitation to spend it.
That's a second grant that I wouldn't care to participate in, Madam Chair.
Madam Chairman, in defense of all the water flea harvesters in Southern Oregon, I'd like to just point out that the study will help them continue their employment in the sector. I mean, it isn't tree harvesting, it's flea harvesting. The fact is that without the study and a habitat conservation plan, there will be no harvesting of fleas, which is used for aquarium food. So, I mean, people are actually making a living on these little aquatic bugs. And it may not seem like a big thing, but it's probably several family wage jobs.
Well, and I would also point out that on the Washington ground squirrel study, that plan is very important for the agricultural, the dairy development that wants to go in there, and that without having that plan in place, the dairy won't have any protection against incidental takings or accidental takings or any takings at all. And in terms of the certainty that they need to go ahead, this is an important piece.
However, Madam Chairman, there's one here that I hate. I have a question for the folks from the ODFNW. The Amphibians and Reptiles Survey and the Development of Conservation for Western Pond Turtles, I understand. But will this contribute to potential third parties who'd use the data stream to request the listing of additional reptilian and amphibian species?
The department hasn't yet presented that one to us. It's actually the next one. So, Ms. Brown, if you could give us the presentation on that one, we can entertain.
Let them know how hostile I am to that one going.
Senator Fairbanks.
Madam Chair, I do have one question to ask.
On the previous one?
I think it's related to that.
Please.
I've heard anecdotally that because the water is not moving out of the lakes in the Klamath Basin, that it's stagnating, and that the algae is increasing to the point where it's creating some toxicity, perhaps ammonia, and it's killing the fish. Can you comment on that? Is that just anecdotal, or do you know? Or
Chair Morgan, Representative Hayden, I don't know specifically. I can certainly get someone here that could answer those questions for you, or I could get some information on a break. But it is not unusual to have fish die-offs in the summertime when you get high temperatures, low oxygen. I don't know specifically relative to Klamath Lake. I can check into that and get some more information for you.
Thank you.
Please proceed.
Okay, fourth project. This is a request to submit a proposal to the USGS, who has a national partnership program for wildlife research with cooperating states. This would be for $30,000, and it would be to assess amphibian populations and develop regional databases. Chair Morgan, Senator Ferrioli, I'm not sure that I can tell you whether or not this would start third-party lawsuits or not. I don't know how you evaluate that. Certainly, any time we can develop biological information, it can be used in a variety of different ways. One way is to support positions of individuals, and sometimes it can be used in other ways. So,
Madam Chairman, the immediate past prototype is the research that was done on the Washington ground squirrel by the Oregon Department of Fish and Wildlife, which subsequently ended up as covered by a notice of intent to sue, and subsequently ended up in a conservation under the Oregon Endangered Species list for the Washington ground squirrel. I certainly don't blame the department for bringing the pure science that results in a listing. Just that it's virtually guaranteed that the more information that we have about amphibians, since we know that there is a significant die-off of amphibians, we think mostly related to parasites, but not all scientists agree. Some think it's related to other climatological conditions and possibly global warming, or maybe the destruction of the ozone layer, or maybe it's just the chaos theory. That notwithstanding, it doesn't matter why amphibians are dying off. Under the Endangered Species Act, we'd be required to do something significant to preserve them, even if it's an entirely natural process or one that we can't affect. And I guess I'm just looking for the agency to put in perspective what will happen with the data stream if we authorize the creation of the data stream.
Madam Chair.
Ms. Brown, could you respond to what is going to happen with the data? What does the agency plan to do with it? Who's it available to? How is it going to be presented?
Chair Morgan, the data will be available to anyone and everyone who would like it. It becomes public information. What I can say about biological information is that oftentimes it benefits the state, and a prime example is the recent non-listing of steelhead on the southern coast, where we had the biological information. We were able to fend off a federal listing. It may well be that when we go looking, we may discover that these populations are healthy. So that would be my response to you.
Madam Chairman, it worked in the south coast with the coho. It worked in the upper Columbia Basin with the red side trout, red band, where the data actually precluded a listing. The votes aren't in on the sage grouse. And I can just almost guarantee you that with the activist population and the Calmeopsis, as soon as this information is available, it'll create a set of lawsuits. It's a strategy we've seen over the last decade. It's pretty clear. So, I mean, I can't hold the agency responsible for how the data is used. It's just, if we go in funding these data stream projects without understanding that the product is not harmless, the science gets used, and that the likely outcome of this kind of a study will be more specificity on a species-by-species basis of the status of amphibians, and that will result in lawsuits.
Jason Listings.
Representative Hayden.
Just a question of anyone who has the answers, the agency or the administrator or Senator Ferrioli. Does the Endangered Species Act require the preservation of species in the presence of a natural catastrophe not associated with humankind in any way? Volcanic eruptions, ice ages?
Senator, I think you're the reigning expert.
Do we attempt to turn back the natural biological clock?
The principle triggering mechanism has been destruction of habitat, and that's a population function. The fact is the Endangered Species Act makes no distinction between human causes or natural causes. It just requires agencies to do whatever they can so that their actions either do not contribute, and that's just the law of the land, or in the case of a listing, that there's a recovery strategy, including trapping and captive raising and so on and so forth. But there is no distinction between human causes or natural causes.
Well, Madam Chair, under the Darwinian principle of survival of the fittest, there's a natural loss of species, which a natural, and I stress the word natural, which has nothing to do with human contribution to habitat. Do we try to reverse these natural processes in order to preserve species because of a federal law?
I think, I don't want to get too esoteric, Madam Chairman, but I don't believe it's a reversal that we're after. And I don't think the Act talks to a reversal of the causes, but it does talk about the recovery and the preservation of those species without regard to how it got caused.
Thank you, Madam Chair.
Ms. Brown, do you have any further to add on the grant application, the sum total of it?
Chair Morgan, I don't have anything additional to add other than to let you know that, again, this is a request for approval to move forward with these proposals. There's no guarantees that these will be funded, but if they are funded, we will be back to the emergency board and give more specifics in terms of
Representative Krieger has a question.
Just real quick, Mr. Morgan. The Nature Conservancy is going to do the management on the around the 123,000 acres for the grounds corp?
Chair Morgan, Representative Krieger, they'll be addressing about 25,000 acres under an agreement, I believe, that they have with the lessee. So they'll be focusing primarily on a smaller area, not the entire 100 or so thousand acres there.
Not on the state lands?
Well, it's all state land.
You've got a private entity doing management. What is the criteria they're going to use for management? In other words, do they have their biologists? Do they have their expertise?
The as I understand it, I'm not real familiar with it. Chair Morgan, Representative Krieger, the lessee is developing a conservation plan. Nature Conservancy is involved. I don't know to what level. And that Nature Conservancy would be managing the 25,000 acres. There's serious problems with exotic grasses, cheatgrass, for example. And they would be working on restoration efforts to try to minimize impacts there as best they can. It's just in the planning stages, so I really have no idea exactly where that's going.
Representative Lowe.
Thank you, Madam Chair. On the issue of the health of the amphibian species and around the state, I agree with the good senator that it may be become an invitation. However, it may be an invitation that we might want to extend nonetheless, because it's my understanding that the amphibians are an indicator species of the general health of the human population as well. It's the primary indicator species of how well what's coming down the road for us in terms of climatological effects and mutations and so forth, because they're so sensitive to mutagens.
And Chairman,
that we find out how they're doing.
I didn't mean to indicate I wouldn't be supporting the bill.
Yeah.
It's hated. But I, you know, how many times a day do we have to do stuff we don't like? Or
hourly.
Representative Vance.
Madam Chair, I'll be very supportive of this. I had an amphibian once, and I found it to be both very sensitive and a good listener.
Madam Chairman, that answers a question about Representative Vance that I've had for a long time. He's the kind of person that raised reptiles as a child.
Indeed.
Representative Hayden.
Can you explain to me how, as we have an agency that does conservation management and is funded to do that, can you explain to me the process whereby we turn over the management to an outside private agency, where we give up, you know, we give up our responsibilities there, even though we don't give up any funding, I guess, of the agency. And then once they get the lease or the control or the ownership or the title or whatever it is that the Nature Conservancy gets, where do they get the funding to do the work that's done?
Chair Morgan, Representative Hayden, going where I don't know a whole lot, but again, as I understand it, the property again is owned by the state of Oregon, administered by DAS. Artie Offutt has the main lease to the property, although there is some other, I think Pacific Corps may have some ownership there too, or at least part of it for the power plant. And so through that lease, as a result of the lease and the result of the farming program there, they want, it was pointed out earlier, they want certainty on that they can manage these lands for agricultural products. So by developing this conservation agreement with assurances, and if that's approved by the Fish and Wildlife Service, then even if that species, the Washington ground squirrel, were federally listed, then Artie Offutt Company would have assurances that they wouldn't have to do any additional protection work above and beyond what's in that conservation agreement. They've chosen, for whatever reason, to develop an agreement with Nature Conservancy to manage that property. I'm not familiar with the legal connections there, but we certainly can find out. Does that answer your question?
Madam Chair.
Follow up.
Well, if you don't know, you don't know. But who can give that assurance? Does this go to the God Squad? As I understand it, that's the only group that can override the Endangered Species Act.
Chair Morgan, Representative Hayden, the Fish and Wildlife Service would issue Artie Offutt a permit if they accept this agreement, and that provides the legal assurances to the lessee, to Artie Offutt.
Madam Chair.
Wait, this also is the State Endangered Species Act.
Yeah, there is no God Squad for the state ESA. Proposing to create one.
Representative Nolan has a question, then Senator Farioli has a comment.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Can you give me a sense of how typical or unusual your lease arrangement on this property is compared to other properties in your jurisdiction?
Chair Morgan, Representative Nolan. The short answer is no.
Sure.
Are you referring to the lease agreement between Artie Offutt, the leasee, and the Nature Conservancy, or between
there seem,
the, between
there
the
seem to be some concerns about a lease of state lands to a lessee who then contracts for management of that. And I just want to know, is that a fairly common arrangement which would make it easier for me to accept it, or is it a particularly unique arrangement which might warrant a little more scrutiny?
If I might interject here, Representative Nolan, this is a very unusual arrangement, and it actually hasn't ever been done before. But I would remind the committee that it isn't the venue of this committee to discuss whether the agreement between the Nature Conservatory and Offutt and the State of Oregon is a good agreement or a bad agreement. That's not what we're talking about. We're talking about whether the ODFW should go ahead and request money for a grant to help work out part of the management agreement that's necessary between Offutt and ODFW and the federal entities over how the land will be managed. That's what is at issue here today.
Madam Chair.
Senator.
It is unusual for the state leasing such a large tract of land for agricultural purposes, but the state leases navigable waterways. It provides mining leases in riparian areas and gravel bars. It leases rangeland for cattle grazing. It leases recreational areas. The fact that the state leases land is not at all unusual. We do it all the time from probably half a dozen different agencies. This is a little unusual since it's a very large tract. It was the remnant of the Boeing Aerospace property that is better suited for irrigated agriculture than it was for aerospace, I guess. But I think the issue, the key issue, is the agreement this is connected with. It's probably been in negotiation for 18 months. All of the parties, the environmental community, RD Offutt, the governor's office, members of the legislature, the folks that petitioned the listing of the squirrel, Oregon Department of Fish and Wildlife, U.S. Fish and Wildlife, have all been parties to the agreement. So it's been a long time coming. The parties have agreed that the appropriate manager would be the Nature Conservancy. And I guess I agree with the chair in that this is not really an issue that comes before a Ways and Means Committee substantively. But I did want the committee members to understand that this doesn't just pop out full-blown out of no context. That, you know, the listing of the squirrel triggered a whole series of reactions designed to make the RD Offutt project economically viable, and in order to do that, they had to satisfy all of the needs for protecting the squirrel, and the best way to do that was with a habitat conservation agreement, and the administration of that agreement by agreement of the parties will be the Nature Conservancy. It may not be the way I'd have structured things, but it seems to satisfy the needs of almost all of the parties to the agreement. I'd hate to see all that work be questioned at this time, and all we're really asking to do is for federal grant dollars to help administer the habitat conservation management that's been agreed to.
Senator, I think you've done an excellent job of putting this grant request in a larger perspective and giving us some understanding of how the whole thing is wired together. Representative Lowe.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I guess what it really requires from us is a leap of faith that the underlying terms and agreements as far as it relates to the state of Oregon are reasonable in term, and that we're getting a good return for our investment, or at least enough to cover some of our, or all or most of our costs, taxpayer costs for doing this. So I'm willing to take the leap of faith based upon the assurances that I've seen here. And it's good to have the land productive. It means more jobs. And I do think that the Nature Conservancy folks do a very reasonable job of protecting the environment. So it sounds like a win-win, and there's, Lord knows, there's few enough of those in this building. So,
Madam Chairman, this is one of those tip of the iceberg things. If you like Tillamook cheese, this is a yes vote, because a lot of the folks that were displaced from the lowlands on the coast had to find a place to run their dairy operations, and it's going to be in connection with the irrigated agriculture, which produces feed. If you like the idea that Oregon might have a beef processing plant in Oregon somewhere, this is a good vote, because again, the cattle feed will be necessary to get the packing plant off the ground. if you like squirrels, which I don't, it's a good vote. If you like jobs in rural areas.
Power generation, Senator?
Yeah, might be another plant up there at some point in time. Even the problem of the Ione Road, which turned into a... If you didn't get into it, you've missed a potential root canal, but that problem got solved. So this is a...
Without anesthetic.
This has been a long process to get here. It's one of those bills I love to hate.
It has been solved. This issue has been negotiated for a long time and in huge, great detail. And it is by no means, as the good senators pointed out, it's not a simple issue. And it has ramifications into a whole lot of areas that have been talked about for a long time by a whole bunch of people.
It is, in short, Madam Chair, a need-to-know issue where ignorance is bliss.
I think we're interested in knowing, there would be a lot of people that would be very happy to sit down and bring you up to speed.
Does the grant then go to the Nature Conservancy to administer the efforts of conservation?
Does the what?
The grant money. I asked where the Nature Conservancy got the money to do the program. Is that where the grant money goes?
Do you know how that part of it's wired together?
Ma'am,
this
I don't.
Grant money
I assume the dollars
to
go to the Department of Fish and Wildlife, and they will, as part of the cost of administering the grant, share some resources with the manager. I assume that's what's going on.
Chair Morgan, Representative Hayden, as I understand it, would go to already off it. And as they work it out with Nature Conservancy, I think primarily the funds would go to managing the area by Nature Conservancy.
Further questions or comments? Representative Nolan?
Nope.
What I'll do then is close the public hearing on the Department of Fish and Wildlife grant. We'll open a work session on the OWEB and Department of Fish and Wildlife grants.
Madam Chair, do you choose to divide the grants, or do you want to vote them?
I would rather vote both of the grant requests through as a block without separating them out.
I wasn't clear on the difference. There's the Blue Mountain Province grants, and that's 8 projects. Are these the projects here?
The projects are listed on a spreadsheet that looks like this.
Did they overlap, or are they completely different? They're different. Okay.
They are different.
Well, these are different grants, Madam Chair. Should you vote, at least vote on the 2 grant applications differently?
For each agency, Madam Chair?
Sure.
Isn't that right? And do these in gross.
One at a time.
One at a time?
Yeah, the one for the watershed enhancement and one for the Department of Fish and Wildlife.
Okay.
Madam Chair.
Representative Hansen.
I would move approval of the application or approval of submission of the grant for the OWEB project.
We have a motion on the table to recommend approval of the grants for that OWEB will apply for.
This one, the Blue Mountain thing?
Yeah.
Okay.
Is there discussion on the motion? Is there objection to the motion? Without objection, the motion is passed. Representative Hansen.
Madam Chair.
We will carry to full.
Can we just do it as one piece to full? Let's do that.
Madam Chair, I would approve the application for the grant for Department of Fish and Wildlife.
We have a motion on the table to approve application of the ODFNW grants to the Blue Mountain Province of the Northwest Power Planning Council. Are there questions or comments on the motion? Are there objections to the motion? Without objection, the motion is passed. And Representative Hansen, would you carry this in full? And on the House floor.
I'd rather not carry him on the House floor.
Oh, we don't need to do that. We just need full. Full. Okay.
Full House Planner.
Now, we will take up the Department of Fish and Wildlife grants. And these ones I wish to consider as a block. Is there discussion on that? Wish, Representative Hayden.
Madam Chair, although I have some reluctance to support any of them, there are some individual ones that I might be able to with some reluctance. However, I will definitely not vote to fund a flea study in an area that is in economic collapse, where hundreds of farmers are being driven out of their livelihoods by our policies there. I think this is very poor timing, and in politics, timing is everything. So I will vote no on the block.
Are there any further objections to voting on this as a block, or objections to any of the pieces? Representative Hansen, would you make a motion to recommend approval?
I would move approval.
That we have a motion on the table to recommend approval of the request. Representative Hayden's objection to the motion is noted. Are there any other objections to the motion? And it keeps people on the doctor's offices. With Representative Hayden's objection noted, the motion is passed. A carrier in full committee. Senator Ferrioli, would you carry this grant request?
I will do. Thank you, Madam.
Madam Chair, do we vote on these on the floor eventually? We never do. No.
What will happen maybe is that if they're approved, they go back to the Legislative Emergency Board for increase of limitation for the agencies.
We've also done in the last interim had the grant requests go before the applicable interim policy committee, then that recommendation goes with the grant, with the limitation request to the e-board.
Madam Chair, if I may, I don't know if this is appropriate or not, but I've found the good representative from the Klamath Basin, Bill Garrard, to be very amenable to giving me guidance as to what is a move that would help that situation and what would not be of help. And for example, in the food drive, anybody's listening, don't forget to bring your canned food for the Klamath food drive to help build the food in the food bank. But on that issue, he might be a good resource for us to know whether or not helping the Daphnia will help or hinder the situation down there for the folks.
But you were going to go.
I'd like to know that.
We have no further business on our agenda today. The Department of Environmental Quality has withdrawn their grant request, but we will be meeting every day this week. Did you have a comment?
There's an announcement. We have the Scandinavian Festival coming.
Yeah, Senator Ferrioli just provided me with the sunny diet adjournment memo. Says I can't go to the Scandinavian Festival next weekend.
Which is a tragedy, Madam Chairman, because this is the year that we've hired Evil Svensson to jump a rototiller over a barrel of lutefisk at the standing.
Really?
And you all think that's a joke.
Perhaps all built.
He could arrange to have it videotaped.
Yeah.
What, the floor session?
Yeah.
That's not a bad idea.
God, the visual. Guy on a rototiller.
Yeah. You see those tines turning, glistening in the sun.
Well, I think that may be hazardous to the lute. Are the fish living?
No, they're buried.
Oh, no. I don't know if lutefisks.
Somebody's fish
are long
living. Obviously never.
I think this is what happens to the fish after you've made something out of it.
Lutefisk is something like ground.
Oh, it's not a species?
No.
It's
can we have him jump
the waste?
Over a barrel of Daphne? Can he jump over a barrel?
They're not Scandinavian.
If you had one in the room.
Hold it.
You notice it.
Members of the committee, we have a full agenda for the rest of this week. We have an agenda in place for Friday and Saturday. I would very much be appreciative if particularly the senators, could show up on time.
Friday and Saturday?
No, every day. And Sunday.
Are we meeting Sunday also?
Not at this present time.
Not at this present time.
And having
Excuse
no further business
Chairman.
Before the committee,
this,
the meeting
this
is
memo
adjourned.
Says we are.